we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
So somewhere along the way, we have stopped seeing emotions as something to feel. And maybe it's just me, but now emotions aren't just signals for you. They've become weapons to control others. If someone makes you uncomfortable, they're toxic. If someone doesn't validate your feelings, they are unsafe. If someone holds you accountable, they're attacking you. Here's the truth. Emotions are not evidence. They are not justification. And they're not a pass to manipulate the world around you, because emotions were never meant to be externalized like this. They are internal data. They tell you what's happening inside, not what's wrong with everyone else. But instead of processing emotions, we are projecting them, weaponizing sadness instead of sitting with it, right? We use it to guilt people into fixing it for us. We weaponize anger instead of understanding it. We lash out and expect others to absorb the impact. We weaponize discomfort. Instead of working through it, we use it to silence, cancel, and/or control. The more that we do this, the weaker that we become, because we're handing our power over to everyone else. If your peace depends on people treating you just right, then you don't have peace. If your worth depends on validation, then you don't have self-trust. Real emotional strength isn't about how well you get the world to accommodate your feelings. It's about how well you navigate them without needing the world to change for you. So here's a question for you. Am I actually processing my emotions, or am I just using them to get what I want?
There's no question that modern psychotherapy and psychology is profoundly narcissistic. How you feel is the message of most psychotherapists. A lot of therapists are there to reinforce the patient's feelings of being a victim, which is usually a perverse form, or not perverse, psychopathologic form of self-centeredness. It's narcissism. Oh, you feel you were hurt by your parents? You certainly were. Instead of, you know what, everybody's hurt by their parents. That's part of life, and it's time for you. You're now 25. This happened when you were 9. It's time for you to grow up. How many therapists say that? They're afraid they'll lose a patient, and then they probably will. People often go to therapists to feel vindicated in their victimhood, not to actually get better.
You don't need a therapist. You need to stop acting like life is a medical condition. Bad days aren't trauma, and feeling lost isn't a disorder. And not getting your way, that's not oppression, that's Tuesday. People have started diagnosing normal struggles like their psychological crisis, when in reality, life comes with stress, setbacks, and uncertainty. That's not dysfunction, that's just being alive. Therapy has its place, but so does resilience. At some point, you have to stop overanalyzing every inconvenience and start handling things like a functional adult. Because resilience isn't outdated, it's just rebranded as toxic positivity.
A new study released by the Pew Research Center shows one-third of American adults take part in New Age practices at least once a year. These practices include tarot card readings, fortune tellings, and astrology. However, most of them say they only took part in these practices for fun. About 1% said they used them for guidance and life decisions. EWTN's Abby Galvan recently discussed the dangers of these practices with a well-known exorcist.
Well, Abby, for example, the Bible is very clear. It calls divination, and that's what these are, divination, using occult practices to try to appear into hidden knowledge and hidden powers. And the Bible calls it an abomination. Very strong word, an abomination. Why? Because it's a portal to the demonic. People don't realize it, even if you think you're doing it for fun. The reality is when you do divination, actually, you're making an implicit contract with Satan. You're saying, I want this hidden knowledge or hidden powers, and obviously I'll give something of myself in return. There's a path of light and a path of darkness. And Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, as the scriptures tell us. And people might think they're doing good, but when they're not using the Lord, the one true God, they can get themselves into a huge spiritual jam. And frankly, as an exorcist, I've seen a lot of disastrous cases because of it.
Why is the New Age so deceptive? What makes it so deceptive? Why is it the biggest threat currently to the Church of Jesus Christ? How is it seducing people? How is it deceiving people? What even is the New Age? Well, I was in the New Age for many, many years, and praise be to God, I was plucked right out of the depths of it so fast, you could hardly believe it. But if you know my testimony, you know that it was a true miracle God saved me, and He pursued me like no other. And literally, my stubbornness and my unbelief had no match against God. But the depths I was in, I knew so many other souls that were there, most of which came from the church, most of which grew up in the church, most of which were Christian. But somewhere along the line, they realized that Jesus Christ is just some enlightened guy and that the whole Bible is a deception meant to control people. That doesn't just happen in an instant. It's a slow progression, how the devil gains access to someone's mind. And it's through things like tarot cards, psychics, mediums who speak to the dead, crystals, transcendental meditations, Buddhist meditations, yoga, to be yoked with, universal consciousness, that's what it means. Brahma, they call it. It's an entirely spiritual discipline, not just stretching, not just physical exercise. It's a real religion. And many other things that entail the New Age. But what the New Age predominantly is, it's a belief system that grounds itself in ancient texts, ancient scriptures, ancient beliefs, but with a modern twist, with a quantum physics twist. So you'll hear the word quantum in New Age a lot, about raising your vibration, increasing your energy, ascending your consciousness, expanding your consciousness. A lot of psychological terms. Some people go through psychology, or they go through yoga, or studying spirituality. It's very easy to fall into the New Age, because the deeper questions obviously come about, and the most popular thing now is New Age answers. The church no longer dominates the realm of thought in spiritual circles. If you're atheist or agnostic and you are curious, just like me, chances are you're going to end up in the New Age. And what's so seductive about it is it makes you feel so like you're onto something no one else is onto yet. That's what draws people in. That's how the devil draws people in, just like the occult. You might as well call it the new occult, because that's what it is.
The very essence of New Age is what Christians would call the serpent's lie. This is the first lie ever told to mankind, that you can be like God, that you are divine, and you have to find that inner divinity and self-awakening within yourself to truly find who you are. These teachings and beliefs are nothing new for humanity. They have been around since the inception of time. Human beings have always tried to elevate themselves to God-like status. In fact, this was a big issue that God had in the Old Testament with the Israelites. Idolatry was everywhere, and this was part of the big problem he had with people coming to him. They saw themselves like they didn't need God. They were, in essence, divine. They were God. If they didn't believe they were God, then they sure chased after other gods. This is nothing new. Human beings still do this today.
The law of attraction is the ability to attract into our lives whatever we are focusing on. It is the law of attraction which uses the power of the mind to translate whatever is in our thoughts and materialize them into reality. In basic terms, all thoughts turn into things eventually. Sounds harmless and pretty cool, right? Nah. From a Christian perspective, that couldn't be further from the truth. It becomes a drug to a lot of people. It becomes the only solution to many people's problems. People start manifesting their entire lives into existence. Just because something works, however, doesn't make it the right thing to do. But why is this wrong, you may ask? If people are receiving everything they could possibly desire, what's the issue? Well, everything always leads back to God. That's not what the law of attraction teaches, though. It teaches that we ourselves are the most powerful, that we can create whatever we desire, that we are all God.
So it says manifestation is the idea of bringing something you want into existence through aspirational practices. It's nothing new. It has roots in the 19th century New Thought spiritual movement, which included the belief that our thoughts can influence the material world, and essentially that positive thinking is the answer to most of our earthly problems. This concept of manifesting your reality through thought, or the law of attraction, which is clearly a New Age belief, can also be traced back to ancient spiritual teachings, including Hindu ideas about the unity of mind, body, and the universe. So as a Christian, why are you practicing something that has roots in Hinduism? It just doesn't make plausible sense, but I think a lot of people don't know that information. And so what we do know is this idea that I can speak things into existence, I can think things into existence. Have your plans, plan your life, all the things. I am not anti-planning because that's what I did in my career. But taking God out of it and thinking, I can do this on my own, I can will this into happening, I can think this into happening, if I say it, it will be so. If we read the Bible, back to Genesis 1 verse 1, the only one who has ever brought anything to existence by his words is God. That's it.
And then the Enneagram, just like Myers-Briggs, was born out of trans-channeling. And so the innovator of the 9 personality types of the Enneagram, his name is Claudio Naranjo, and you've got a clip of him admitting this publicly, that he got the inspiration for these 9 personality types through the process of automatic writing. Now, automatic writing, now this is something that I can attest to as a former New Ager. I was the top-selling New Age author before I was saved. Praise Jesus for saving me out of that deception. But what I was doing, Pastor Joel, at the time I was a New Age author, is I was using automatic writing like Claudio Naranjo, the innovator of the Enneagram, and like Carl Jung. I would sit there and I would pray, but who was I praying to? I don't know right at this point. And I would ask for messages to come through my pen or my typewriter, my laptop, and I would kind of just go into a trance where I wasn't really aware of what was coming through. And then lo and behold, there would be coherent messages on my paper or on my laptop document. And I repent for those products. And there's some of them still for sale, which I'm always telling people, do not buy, destroy them. They're going out of print, praise God. I'm here to attest that those automatic writing books that I was involved with, I thought they were from angels, they're from demons. And that's how the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram were born. These are doctrines of demons.
All of these things are blending and they're trying their best. The devil don't care about the world using it. It's trying to find its way in here. So it is my job to enlighten you. Now, we've talked about everything you just heard in some video at some point. Manifesting, law of attraction, Enneagram. I mean, we did the whole cleanup message and I went through each one. Tarot reading, and then I have War on Witchcraft, the video. Goes through each one of them, show y'all that. So today I'm not gonna highlight anything you just saw. I want to play the video just to show you the deception, how even New Age philosophy is bleeding into counseling. You know, now you can't trust a Christian counselor. Unless you know they saved and filled the Holy Ghost, that ought to be your first question. You saved and filled the Holy Ghost? But the reason you can't trust them is because Christian counseling is based upon the merge of secular ideology and Christendom. It's a combination of the two. If you want biblical counseling, you got to find a biblical counselor. There's a difference. And so you go talk to somebody, you got to be careful who you're talking to and how they help you, leading you out of the issue. I'm not putting counseling down. Sometimes you go through trauma and different things. I went through trauma Friday. I probably needed a counselor because two people got murdered right while I was there. That's when the Lord really started dealing with me and showing me people aren't where they used to be mentally anymore. People are emotionally weak. If they don't like you, they don't have the strength to pray for you anymore. They want you dead. They want you gone. Life will be better without you. That's the way people think now. In church, I wish that person was gone. I wish something bad would happen. That's the way people think now. Because they've been conditioned, not just by social media, but by the new age. The new age wants to make you God so you can make those choices. You can choose that your mother and your father should not be a part of your life in the new age because of something they said or did. They're not on my side. A mother and a father? You mean where you only get one? And you have an option to exclude them? But this is where people are. Just emotionally weak. So we as a church, if we're going to help these people, we can't be with them. We can't use secular new age methods. We got to use what we know is right, and that's the word of God. So I'm going to talk today just about getting in this place and how we, you know, why people even fool with this stuff. And it's because we aren't honest to ourselves. You know what honesty is? Real honesty, honest to yourself as a believer. You have to first shed other people's opinions. You can't worry about the judgment of others if you're gonna be honest. If you're concerned what other people think, you're concerned with what other people think, you won't be honest. Because you'll try to control a narrative about yourself. That's not honesty. You have to be confident in who God made you, who you are, and not worry about what people think. That is true honesty. Amen? Honesty is said to be the best policy. Benjamin Franklin said that. But the Bible also speaks about honesty in a way that most people don't apply it. Psalms tells us, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You remember your mama used to say that. The Bible says a lie ain't going to tarry in his sight. He's talking about a person who's working deceit. Working to build a false narrative, a false reputation about themselves. They're working in concern with what other people think of them. That's a, you know, in the Bible, it was called a hypocrite, an actor. They called actors hypocrites. You know, actors now lead the world. They lead politics. They lead whatever an actor says is what everybody wants to do. But biblically, in the Bible days, actors were hypocrites because they weren't real. They were acting. Why do we give a person an award for lying? That's not who you are. You're really good at not being who you are. Is that a good thing? Man, I can make you think I'm somebody else. We were talking about Denzel Washington the other day. We said he played a better Malcolm than Malcolm. I see the real Malcolm. I'm like, turn him off. Put Denzel back on. He did a better Malcolm. Man, but that's not good that you're able to be somebody else better than you are being yourself. That's a bad thing. And every actor is better at being someone else. All of their lives reek of disaster. Because what we're applauding isn't who they really are. It's not honest. The Bible teaches us to lie not one to another in Colossians. But it's more than just not telling an untruth. This speaks about lying behaviors as well. You've put off the old man and his deeds, so don't lie one to another. In other words, don't live a lying lifestyle. Don't appear to be something that you're not. Amen. We all got stuff we're working through. We all got stuff our children are working through and all of that. And in here, we don't embarrass nobody because their kid did something crazy or they did something crazy or nothing like that. We don't act like that at ABC. But in some people's minds, they're thinking that. So when the kids wild out, they come down too hard either on their kids or themselves, worried about what others will think of them. And so then they begin to pretend everything's okay until the kids grow up. And so we got to be careful, y'all. We're here to help, just to help. But we can't help if you don't show the problem. If you hide the problem, you can't get the help. You don't have to clap. But he's talking about these behaviors. You can't just do that. These are behaviors that we exhibit based on a truth that condemns or hurts us. So that's where the pretending comes in. When the truth hurts, we create a narrative. When the real truth hurts, we try to shun the truth by changing our response or our behaviors. In other words, you are acting a certain way toward others because you do not like the reality of your decisions and circumstances. We're all in Christ. So that should be a no-no in here, right? Too bad it's not. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves in these days. That's what knowledge of self is. That's loving yourself to the point to where you want to figure yourself out. That's what the Enneagram does. You want to figure yourself out when you already know who you are. Parents, disobedient to parents. Folk hate their parents, now treat their parents like trash. Some of the parents are trash, but you're not supposed to treat them like trash. Oh, they trash. They OnlyFans trash. Some of these ladies, some of these dudes are pimps. They trash. They jive trash, but that's not your call. You should be in a position to pray for them and help them out of it. Boy, ain't it funny how we get supernatural power when it's time to get a job. When it's time to pray for a car and a house or whatever you praying for, material. Boy, you got all kinds of anointing. When it's working in your favor, you have crazy faith. But when it's somebody you don't like, no grace for that. I did pray. Well, when you thought something was going on in your body that you couldn't control, you was sick or whatever it was, you prayed longer then. You called all the elders. You had a revival in your house. Took the toys from the kids and set them up. This is the audience, y'all. We're going to have a revival meeting. But when it's somebody you don't like, I did pray for. In a situation you don't like, you know. So, yeah, that's this culture, this mindset. But your parents are your parents, and you only get a set of them. Amen. And that's unthankful. Yeah, you could not know either one of your parents. To validate these behaviors, lying behaviors, and escape the responsibility of living honestly for God, many have adopted New Age philosophies and methods. They search for self-discoveries, self-validation, New Age ideologies that will affirm their feelings instead of trusting in God's biblical precepts and principles. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man gonna come to me, the first thing he has to do is what? What? So that means any search for self, any self-discovery, any knowledge of self is in the way of you going after Christ. Yes. You have to deny self. To be in Christ, you must be honest. Look at somebody say honest. You got to be honest with yourself to be in Christ. You have to be honest with yourself to be in Christ. Can't be in Christ and live a lie. Can't be in Christ and live for other people's opinions. Can't be in Christ and try to make people believe something that's not true. If you're in Christ, you got to be honest with yourself. And then you have to take responsibility for your wrongdoing and bad choices. I shouldn't have done that. Yes. I don't need a therapist to tell me that. I shouldn't have done it. I don't need to unfriend people. Folk in here do that. Unfriend, block it. Because somebody told you about yourself. And they wasn't lying. That's it. I ain't got to hear that. But it's the truth. That's just emotionally weak, this fragile world. But to be in Christ, you got to be honest with yourself, take responsibility for your wrongdoing and bad choices. The idea of this is hard for people that use their past as an excuse for their behavior or harbor issues from wrong suffered. It's just my trauma acting up. Excuse me. But that's my your trauma acting up. I saw you do it. I didn't see you no trauma do it. I snap off. You better watch out now. You will snap off. I mean, you know, because growing up, I think it's time to grow out of that. I mean, are we saved? Look at somebody say, are we saved? What is the part? Man, Jay Bryan had a song. We might need to redo it for SYC. What am I saved from? You remember that song? What am I saved from? What are you saved from if you still popping off, cussing out, getting a little taste? What you a taste? Firebird. Little wild turkey taste. Well, he said, take a little bit for the stomach. He didn't say take whiskey for the stomach. No moonshine for the stomach. Second Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove who? Examine yourself. If you are lying, you can't examine yourself. If everybody in the church, you got everybody thinking you the most sanctimonious, sanctified person. And then when you have a problem, you can't talk to anybody because you're afraid they're going to think less of you. You're in a place where people can help you. I don't be getting no strange books trying to solve the problem. Books that open up themselves and set themselves in your lap. Don't read that. K- kill that book. I mean, tear it up, destroy it, set it on fire. He said, know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Don't be a reprobate. Don't two-time God. There is power. Where's the power? In the blood of Jesus to set us free from our past and the trauma of our upbringing. Your past is in the past. And whatever trauma you experience, you should be set free from it. Yeah. Amen. If you say, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Old things are what? That means he's not that person anymore. So quit bringing up what happened to you. If you're a new creature, if you've been made new, you still walking around, the devil is using witchcraft on you, reminding you of your past, making you search for answers outside of God's word. You got to do that. If you're supposed to be a new creation and you're not a new creation, now you got to go somewhere else to try to figure out, what am I? Look at somebody say, I'm a new creation. That's what, because that's what the Bible said. And there was trauma in the upbringing of everyone God used in the Bible, even the ones that he chose to write it. Trauma. Now, what if Paul had just kept going to counselors? You know, I felt the way Friday did, just hearing people die. But just imagine if I was the one killing them. Paul had to look his past in the face and say, I can't let my past affect my future. He had to say that. Not that I've apprehended, but this one thing I do. What did he say? Forgetting those things that what? Are behind me. If I don't forget the things that are behind me, my past will be in front of me, and it's no longer my past, it's my present. Everybody he used had a past. The pain of their past did not alter God's plan for them, and neither should it affect ours. Amen. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus, and your past won't stop it. Amen. He's gonna keep performing it. You just keep believing that you are new. Here's the thing that gets me. You had all that trauma in your past, whatever it was, and look at you now. You're doing good. So why are you thinking about that? How do you keep going down these slippery slopes of what happened to you? That must be the devil. Unfortunately, most today want to use their past trauma as an excuse to hate, be malicious, and avoid those they should forgive and embrace. That's what we talked about last week, hindering your help. You can't hinder your help because you hate the folks that can help you. This is New Age thinking, and this New Age thinking is not from God. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, what did he just do? He lied. For he that loveth not his brother, mother, father, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Instead of being honest with ourselves and admitting, it's my fault that I behave this way. Can somebody say that? I mean, not right now, but can you say that? It's my fault. It's my fault I'm acting that way. Yeah. Wasn't what mama did. What I didn't have growing up. What was missing from my upbringing. I grew up in the dysfunctional circumstances. I grew up in the ghetto. I heard gunshots every night. Are you hearing them now? Somebody stole my bicycle when I was little. I'm not still trying to find that bike. I ain't Pee Wee Herman. I ain't still looking for my bicycle. I ain't thought about that bike since I just said it right now. The bike is gone, and I'm grown. I can buy a bike. Buy a new one. No, but that one, it had the little bell and a three. What's wrong with you? This don't have nothing to do with that bicycle. You know what this has to do? You got a hold of something and open yourself up to demons. And demons are oppressing you. You're trying to find a childhood situation to use, and it ain't nothing but an old-fashioned demon. Because you went on a search to find self. Just saying, it's my fault I behaved like this. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. Why did you do it? I mean, what's made? Because I felt like it. But should you? No, I shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. I asked the Lord to forgive me. I'm forgiven. I got to move on. I can't stay here and try to figure out why I did it and go back to my childhood, to the bicycle incident. Man, you better get past that. Here's the crazy thing. You got kids growing up in your house, and you still think about the bicycle? They want a bike. No, we don't do bicycles in this house. Mm-mm. Why not? Because, man, people steal them. That'll mess you up for life. Preachers back when I was growing up, they just be preaching and preaching and looking in the microphone. Tell that sister she don't need to wear that no more. That's a little too revealing. Sister, don't wear that to church no more. And they go in the back, get a choir robe. Sometime, depending on how sexy it was, they go get some burlap. Just put in a potato sack. Here you go. Put this on. You need to itch so you don't ever dress like that again. Yeah. You do that now, you got a lawsuit. Well, the first thing, her husband's going to cuss you out. Yeah, he's so weak, he don't know that she's for sale. Yeah, my wife ain't leaving the house sexy. That's an abomination. You can't do that. Come back here. It's like in my scorpion voice. Get over here. Maybe she didn't see it. Maybe a mirror was broke. Maybe she didn't look at that angle. Whatever. But they used to do that. Pastor would just get up and people, they come back the next week with more friends. Because they understood rebuke. This is to help me. This man didn't have to say nothing. He didn't have to say nothing. He could have left me looking like a harlot. But he cared enough to call it out. I'm going to go change. And the next Sunday, wasn't nobody even thinking about it. You know what we was thinking about the next Sunday? Us, making sure we, hey, let me make sure. Let me check. Let me. You say one thing, brother. I felt like you kind of disrespected me. Well, you disrespect people. I'm leaving, and they leave the church. Emotionally weak. But it ain't really just emotional weakness. It's a demon. You've opened yourself up to a spiritual situation. We oftentimes deflect to the faults of others to feel better. So instead of being honest, I'm just going to find stuff wrong with other people. That'll make me feel better. Especially when we want to appear better or above a person spiritually. Philippians 2 and 3, let nothing be done through strife or what? Don't you do that for vainglory. You know how you can find out if somebody is doing something for vainglory? Sit them down and stop them. If they hang around, they was doing it for the Lord. If they leave, it was vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I am preaching in here. Yeah. Go on and manifest, we'll deal with you. I know you're holding it in. It's a tough one, man. I cried and cried after I did this message. I might have been crying because of the gunshots I heard. I don't know. I was just a mess. All kind of tears. Tears shooting in different directions. I was traumatized. But I know God allowed that situation to happen for me to, when I was formulating this message, me to really understand where people are now. People are ready to kill you. So you can't dibble and dabble in something that grace don't cover. God is going to judge our judgment of people and the way we treat each other. Right. Now God judges the way you treat people, your children. What you say and did to others, your kids gonna do to you. Yeah. He is coming down even harder in the end times because he wants us what? Together in these times and not apart. It's important in 2025 for us to be together. All this rain, Texas might disconnect and float away. And they are, you know, and the crazy thing is they're admitting now that they are cloud seeding. They called this little freckle-faced preacher from DFW Metroplex back in 2013. They took my video off the internet and said I was a conspiracy theorist because I said that they had the power to modify the weather and cloud seed. Now they're saying that they're cloud seeding. They owe me an apology. Amen. But I'm not going to go look for it. YouTube, I need to hear from you. I don't care. I went and just told it to the people that listen. But God is going to judge our judgment of people in the way we treat others, and he's coming down harder during these end times. Luke 6 and 37. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and what? You won't be condemned. Forgive and what? You shall be forgiven. You don't have to pay for that. You need a counselor. You don't have to pay a counselor to tell you that. That's what God is telling you to do. Stop judging. Stop condemning. Start forgiving. I just solved half of your problems right there for free. Put something in the offering plate. We cannot live against the truth that surrounds us. It will eventually damage our body, mind, and relationships. We have to be honest with how we are so we can understand why we need help. Proverbs 16 and 28 says, a dishonest man, just drama. Drama. That's spreading strife, but I'm using a term that you're familiar with. Drama. Drama. That's what you see. When you see them girls fighting online and weave snatching, all that drama is over dishonesty. They won't admit, man, my life is trash. I'm trash. I made some terrible, choices. I need to change this. They ain't gonna admit that. What you say about me? Dishonest person gonna spread strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. The word of God is here. Look at somebody say, the word of God is here. The word of God is here to affirm us, validate us, and teach us. God left the word here. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the word lives on. It's alive. You can read the same scripture three different times in three different days of the week. And each day that scripture could apply to whatever was happening at that time. That's because it's alive. That's a living organism. Amen. He left the living word to affirm us, validate us, and teach us. So we don't need the world to do this for us. We don't need people to do this for us. We don't need followers and friends to do this for us if the word has done it for us. We do not need New Age tools or man-made philosophies that cater to our humanness to give us knowledge of self. Let me just break it down for you real cool right here. We are not gods. Look at somebody say, you are not a god. Gods, look at them say, gods have more money than you. I mean, that's the first sign. I ain't no god and I ain't no king. Hey, king, no, don't call me that, man. I don't have a king's money. I don't have a drawbridge on my house. I gotta have a drawbridge with a moat. Alligators, I can push somebody in it when they just act up. Call me king. You ain't no king. So you're not a god, but we serve God. Huh? And because we serve God, God does things for us. You know what the best thing he does for us? He saves us, but he adopts us. See, salvation is adoption. He adopts us. So if a God adopt me, then what the God has, I have access to. If I'm adopted. So ain't no need of me sitting around here calling myself a God, trying to be a God, and reading books on how to be God-like and knowledge and all of this kind of stuff. When I have a God that I serve that has adopted me, brought me in his family to take care of me. I want what he has for me. We are not gods, but we serve God. He is the creator of us and has all the knowledge of who we are. All the knowledge of who we are. Man ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some people, well, why did God even put a tree that powerful to change everything in there?
You've been listening to Bible True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Greg Lewis, founder of Yes Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas.
This sounds like the bridge class.
If this message has been a blessing to
you,
and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.
That tomato. Yeah, so, you know, he's God. But we are not. And he's creator and has all the knowledge we need. Psalms 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, wonderfully made by a person would be the best that person can do. But wonderfully made by a wonder worker will be the absolute best it could be. So if God made us wonderfully, that's the best it could be. I know I'm preaching. Somebody told me the other day on a comment, you so narcissistic. You always saying, I know I'm preaching. I answered them back, well, I know I am. You heard me? Did you hear it? Then I deleted it. I didn't send it. I be wanting every, who I be wanting to clap back? God won't let me. Because it ain't like I'm saying my words. The only reason I'm preaching is because I'm repeating the words of God. So I can say that. Thank you. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We must make sure we are not departing from the truth, because the lie makes us feel better about where we are. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. We must make sure we are not departing from the truth, because the lie makes us feel better about where we are. It's time to improve our behavior so we can be who God wants us to be. Yeah. Lamentation says, let us test. Point at somebody and say, you test. It's up to you. It's up to us. Let us test and examine whose ways? Our ways. And then do what? Return to the Lord. Summary! New Age practices turn a person into a selfish being. It's about you. The issues others may have caused are magnified, and this causes them to label loved ones and necessary people as toxic or harmful to their peace and well-being. That's what New Age does. It makes you label the people that can really help you toxic. You're a danger to my well-being. You make me uncomfortable. Well, that's because they're telling you the truth about yourself. Or they know who you really are. A lot of folks get away from their parents because they can't pull the wool over their parents' eyes. Yeah, they can just relocate somewhere where nobody knows them and then try to act like they're something that they're not. You know, them parents be like, bruh, don't try that again. You only want some money. New Age concepts affirm your way, but do not emphasize the part you are playing in your own issues. Yeah. These New Age counselors will never tell you, oh, that's your fault. Just stop doing that. They had this Chinese philosopher. This dude had years and years of experience, all kinds of knowledge, just one of the smartest health guys on the planet. And they said, we're going to ask you a question. So if a person is not metabolizing sugar right, and they, you know, they raise their A1C, raise their blood sugar, just, you know, they got diabetes, all these kind of things, what would you tell them? He said, stop eating sugar. People ask me that all the time. Bro, Pastor, how do I just want to leave pornography alone, but it just keep coming back. It got legs now. No, it don't keep coming back. You keep wanting it back.
That's right.
Stop wanting it. Okay, no, see, but it's no. Well, can you cast it out? What? The want? No. You're human, so you probably do want intimacy. You're just looking at the wrong thing. Turn it off. That's too simple for this generation. You know what they did for us? Oh, you got a problem? Oh, okay. Come on. You know, you got a problem with what? Oh, you struggling with porn? Well, get down here, and I'll tell you when to get up. Yeah. And we'd be down there because we really wanted freedom. See, let me keep preaching. But now you want to go watch a series of videos. Then you want to pay. I'm going to pay for this program. Read this book, pay for this program. I got all these books in my house about all this stuff. And see, this one shows that what happened. See, why I like looking at legs is because when I was young, a chicken leg fell on my lap and it looked really good. And so when I grew up, I just started having just visions of legs, and it went from chicken legs to people legs, and then chicken heads legs, and just legs. You want it to be that complicated, and it's not, when all you gotta do is just stop. You stop. See, here's the thing, you've stopped stuff before. You've stopped stuff before. Look at your life. The things you really knew you had to stop, or you was gonna go to jail or go to the electric chair, you stopped doing that. You stopped it. And cops was gonna bust in on your job. You knew you had to stop stealing office supplies. You can't take no more liquid paper. Cops gonna bust in. They busted in on Susie, took her to jail. You stopped shoplifting. You was delivered from kleptomania when they yelled at you when you was walking out the door. But they was really talking to somebody else. You thought they was talking to you. You had a can of tuna in your pocket. You was delivered, set free that day. You never do that again. So you can stop. We all have the capacity to stop. And with the power of the Holy Ghost, we can stop, or he will show us how to get some help that is sanctioned by biblical principles. God's way is the, look at somebody say, God's way is the only way. It's the only way that works. Stop if you want to. You stopped everything else you wanted to stop. God tells us to, well, let me go back. New Age concepts affirm your way, but do not emphasize the part you're playing in your own issues. God tells us to honor our father and mother, but New Agers teach that if your parents are not doing what you want them to do, then they are toxic and you should avoid them. Until they die. Then you at the funeral. What's that movie? Imitation. You the imitation of life. Running after the hearse, trying to jump in the casket. That's how you always know somebody wasn't acting right when they was alive. I used to wonder that about black funerals, Sister Dallery. It's always us. They don't do that at white funerals. Do they white people in here? They don't do that. Do they do that at Hispanic funerals? I don't know. But I know at the Negro funeral, somebody wants to get in that casket. And I say, let them get in. No. Back up. Let them in there. Be better off. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Well, I wasn't talking about anybody in particular, so just leave them in there. Just. Yeah, but you know, they must have been a hellion while they was alive. Because now, mama, they just in there going crazy. Because they didn't act right when they had the chance. They didn't treat them right when they had the chance. Because they was listening to some old bullcorn New Age junk. telling them to separate themselves from the toxic environment. What if you're the toxin? Why is every environment you go to turn toxic? God tells us to honor them. They tell us to avoid them. God tells us to love one another and be in fellowship together. But New Agers tell us that if they disagree or upset us in any way, then they're not good for our mental health and should be avoided. Church people, you're avoiding church people because they're not good for your mental health. You're avoiding your brothers and sisters in the faith because they're not good for your mental health. But you grew up in a house full of crazy monkeys. Lord, forgive me. But you did. You know your family crazy. Then you come in here. No. I see that right there. We know where you came from. Why you get here and try to act brand new? See, I can't be around that group, see, because they're just a little improper. We read about your family. God tells us to forgive and let things go, but New Age philosophy tells us just to keep reminding. And never forget. That's a part of building your inner self. You can't tap into your inner self unless you know all the inner workings and all the bad things that happened. So you got to get a piece of paper and write down all the bad things that happened. Okay, I dropped my ice cream off my ice cream cone when I was 2. And then when I was 3, why don't you just get saved? If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. No matter how many ice cream cones he dropped, he's a new creature. Don't drop none no more. Why is that important? That's a deflection. New Age is telling you, don't forget, because this is a form of protection. This way you won't allow it to ever happen again. Form of protection from those that are disturbing our peace and our solace. Alone time. Zen. Christians don't have no zen. Amen. All them kids in your house, they'll never be zen. Unless you name one of them zen. Come here, zen. That's the only zen you're going to have in your house. Somebody would let me hear this message. Let's, can we be honest? Look at somebody say, let's be honest. Let's be honest. We need our parents. Any parents in here? Amen. Do your children need you? You know they need us when they don't think they do. Yes, you do. But I'll be here. I ain't gonna say nothing. I'll just be here. We need our parents. We need our families. And we need each other. Look at somebody say, I need you. We need each other. I need you. You in here. I need you. We all need each other. Amen. Amen. So the enemy wants you to believe that all you need is self-love, self-validation, and selfish ambition. And you will turn into the best version of yourself. Why are those people always miserable? This belief is New Age and not biblical. However, many in the church have embraced it. Instead of truly denying oneself and choosing to follow Christ, people are claiming Christ, but keeping their trauma and issues as excuses to behave the way they want. They isolate themselves from loved ones to avoid accountability while seeking self-affirmation through the New Age lies of the enemy. All of this is in God's way of truly blessing you. God is not going to allow you to live the way you want just because of your upbringing or what others did to you. He's not. It's not going to be double judgment day. You're not going to be able to go grab somebody off the heavenly, out of the heavenly, yeah, somebody on the heavenly roster. You're not going to be able to look down the name and say, oh, but that, I need you to go get him. He hurt me when I was little. And that made me a monster. No, you wanted to be a monster. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't have been one. Isn't it funny how we just lose control when we think about what happened to us, but we control everything else we want to control? God is not going to allow you to live the way you want just because of your upbringing or what others did to you. We are supposed to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we should never use man-made philosophies or wisdom to escape our responsibility. What is our responsibility? To overcome the trauma of our past. If we live right, what's going to happen? Our lives will be right. Man. Amen. This message blessed me. Somebody still mad about the monkeys. I wasn't talking about your family. This story, oh my goodness. This story right here. So, what was going on in Ephesus at this time was some people had come through there with these books on magic and divination, bunch of Solomon books, witchcraft books, all of this stuff. The Jews were mixing this stuff, so they were mystic or magical Jews back then, using magic and different things. So they were using these man-made things, but they were still calling themselves Jews, you know, Jews based on God's divine calling upon that group to birth Christ. So they still felt like they, you know, they were entitled, and yet they had these books and these different things. So when the disciples come through there, when Paul comes through there and he's casting demons out and doing things, you know, miracles and different things, they're watching it. And so they're like, hey, we're going to add this to our magic collection. We're watching them, man. They're doing great stuff. Oh, man, we're going to do it. So the Bible says that these vagabond or wandering Jews, they were exorcists. It was basically practicing dark arts and fooling people with them. So they took upon themselves to call over people who had evil spirits, to call over the people that had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they gonna try to use the name that Paul was using because they saw Paul do it and Paul was successful. But the problem was they had a mixture. They had a mixture of pagan or soulish, earthly psychology and understanding of secular magic, and they tried to use that in accordance with the power of God. You can't mix the two. That's what this whole message has been about, just in case you missed it. You can't mix. Something bad gonna happen if you mix. They found out the hard way. They walked up to some folks that was manifesting demons and they said, oh, we adjure you, we cast you out by Jesus, who Paul was mentioning the other day. Come out in the name of Jesus. Well, they ain't even say in the name. Come out by Jesus, who Paul mentioned. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priest, which did so. But the Bible tells us the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Now that's powerful. That's really powerful. The evil spirit said, basically, if you had been Paul, this would have worked. Because we know Jesus and we know Paul. We need demons to know us. Amen. They know Paul. They know Jesus. He said, but who are you? This is exactly what Dr. Carter gets it from, just in case you was wondering. This is his favorite saying. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, he jumped on them and beat them up and prevailed. It said overcame and prevailed. That means there was absolutely nothing left to do. He overcame and prevailed. He finished his course. He fought a good fight. It was over. He overcame and prevailed so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He beat their clothes off and then bruised their naked bodies. One dude. Now it was seven sons. Y'all couldn't handle this dude? No, they have supernatural strength when they're possessed. But listen to this part. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks that were dwelling in Ephesus. So everybody heard about it. And because they heard about that mixture, we got some of these books in our possession. We have some of these things that those guys was using. And we just saw a demon whip them naked. The Bible says fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified. What did that cause? And many that believed came, and then what did they do? They confessed, and then what did they do? They showed what they were doing. They showed. Man. We've been doing this stuff. They got honest. Many of them also that was using curious arts, they brought their books together and did what? Burned them all before everybody. They wanted everybody to know, I'm out of this. I'm done with this. And they counted the price of them, and it was 50,000 pieces of silver worth of books. How many books did they have? So mightily grew the word of God, and the word of God prevailed. Everyone stand to your feet. You know, now in the digital age, we don't bring books and burn books or anything like that because most of it is living in your phone. But now you know what you got to do. You got to separate yourself from it. You need prayer to help you do that? Come on up. Just come on up. Whatever the app, whatever on your phone, whatever you listen to, heard, whatever. I mean, this stuff is it's everywhere. So we want to make sure, man, I'm not getting the wrong help. I want the right help. Don't you want the right help? Amen. I don't want the wrong help. I want God's help. I want to stay biblically sound, biblically pure. I want my life surrounded by truth and the wisdom of the word of God. Amen. 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 And this stuff is designed for you to not know the truth about it until the truth comes. It wants to catch you when you're grieving, when you're hurting, when you're vulnerable, when you feel the world's against you, you feel people don't like you, whatever it is. Man. But we believe in freedom by the power and the blood of Jesus. Yeah, let's fill this area up. Come on. The devil is a liar. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. But you know what? He ain't got but a few tricks. This, what I'm preaching about, this was his best shot at mankind. Make people believe they're gods. That's what he did in the garden. First time out. Empower people. And you know, we say, so I believe in the power of the tongue. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in the yod of the tongue. What we say, if we walk around talking negative, we're going to have negative things. But I don't believe you can make anything appear by what you say. Only God can do that. Amen. So you can't go in your garage and say, Maybach, come forth. Little Hot Wheel going to just roll in there. And you roll that in. No, it don't work that way. We're not manifesting and saying it and all that. No, we're going to, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to get jobs. Work jobs and make some money so we can buy something. Want a better job? We're going to take some tests and get smarter. Anyone else? Everyone bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for truth. God, we thank you for honesty. It is the best policy, even though you didn't say that, but it was a smart saying. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Just once we're honest with you, how you respond to us and you respond to our honesty. None of us want to live outside of you, God. None of these that came want to live without you. None of us want to live with you mixed with something else. We want the true and living God directing us, leading us, guiding us. Only no wives' tale, no things passed down by great big mama, and no magic and sayings and trinkets and charms. And God, we don't want anything usurping power in our lives. You're the only power operating that is allowed to operate through us. So right now, come on, lift your hands. Right now, God, we ask that you cleanse us from anything that is against you. Take it out of our lives. If it wasn't mentioned today, illuminate it. Let us see it for what it is, so it can be gone. Remove it, Lord. And God, we repent right now for having any dealings, anything we tried to manifest, any law of attraction we use, any enneagram, any defining of a personality through secular means, anything that came from these sorcerers, these witches, New Age occultists. Father God, anything that has operated through us, that we've touched, that we've spoken, we denounce it right now in the name of Jesus. We denounce it and we rid ourselves of it. We will be guided by the Holy Ghost from this day forward. You are our guide. You know us. You made us. So we'll only listen to you and follow you. And God, we pray right now, even for restoration of our families, God, that were torn apart because of this New Age philosophy, and any issues in our homes with our children, with our husbands, with our wives, anything that this magic has interfered with, Father God, we denounce it right now. We repent for it. Forgive us, Lord, for doing things ignorantly. But God, once the light comes, we want to walk in it. So help us from this day forward, walk in your light and your light only. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, People talk about generational curses all the time. How somebody did something. In this next video I'm going to do, part 15, if Jesus don't come back before then, if he come back before then, I'm not going to be there. Y'all just play something I already recorded. If you're here. I won't be here. But if we make it to the 15th and everything is good, October 18th or whenever it is. 18th? Yeah. I'm going to talk about this stuff. I'm talking about ancestral stuff. And that's why, you know, it's just... But people talk about these curses coming down, the generational curses. But what people don't like, well, not like, but what people don't mention enough is generational restarts. See, somebody that formed that generational curse didn't hear a message like this or didn't respond to a message like this, or it would have stopped it. But you're here. So you're able to change a generation. That's our job. By deleting it, by a swipe away, by a book throwaway, by getting rid of it, by getting it out, you just stopped something that could have affected generations to come. That's what a generational curse is. Somebody got into something that they shouldn't have got into. Whether they were knowledgeable of it or they did it in ignorance. And it affects people until somebody stops it. Look at somebody and say, I'm a stopper. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm going to stop it. On your way to your seat, hug somebody and say, I'm stopping this. I'm stopping it. It won't be passed down through my family. Only the knowledge of the true and living God will be the legacy of my family. Amen.